Beers and Tears would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land from which we conduct this podcast, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their continued connection to the land and waterways and sky of this beautiful place, and we pay our respects to elders past and present, and extend that respect to all First Nations people present today, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Beers and Tears. Today, I'm joined with Dandelion Head. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
What is Dandelion Head? Where did that all come from?
That was a nickname that my grandmother used to call me, actually, when I was a kid. I had this like big head of curly white hair, like that really white blonde kid hair, and it was curly. So she was like, "You're my Dandelion Head."
Oh, cute.
And yeah, it is cute. And I can't believe I didn't really stumble on that name until like, you know, recently in the last year, basically. Mm. I went by Ye Blin. For my first solo record, I went by Ye Blin. And I don't know, that name's just been sitting there. And when I found it, it felt really good. It felt really right.
Yeah. And
it just felt like it fit.
Awesome. And when did you start getting into making music? Just generally speaking, when was the time where you were like, okay, I'm going to start creating and putting it out into the world?
I guess high school and maybe even a bit before. I mean, I played guitar from like grade 3. My parents got me guitar lessons instead of piano lessons. They felt like every kid had piano lessons and that none of them ever stuck with it. And they were like, why don't we get him a guitar? And that was great because I was into it and I stuck with it. And by like 7th or 8th grade, I was starting to like jam with, you know, my friends. And, you know, I had this high school band with a good buddy of mine. I switched schools. So it was kind of like I brought these two groups of people together into one band and we called ourselves Pea Soup, which was kind of an accident and a really weird name. But we were a full-on jam band. We were like obsessed with the Grateful Dead and Fish and like any band that like played 10-minute songs and had lengthy solos on multiple instruments. So, but it was really fun, and I kind of never stopped, you know. And I don't know if it was ever really like a decision. It just kind of like that's what I did, and then just kind of kept going.
Yeah, cool. And this project has been sort of described to be like more lo-fi folk kind of Bon Iver, early Bon Iver styled. Where did that shift come into play in terms of making music?
Well, that kind of happened later because out of university, I met a guy there who we started a band, and we had a band for many, many years together. And once that kind of ended, I think my first record was very much that kind of Bon Iver vibe. And I did it all myself in a little studio. And it was kind of a reaction to like being in a band, basically, like, mm-hmm. and the politics and, you know, the personalities, and just kind of like, I was so excited to just be like, I'm going to be in the studio and I'm going to do whatever I want. And I'm going to make the decisions, and I'm just going to like strip it away. And so it, you know, it came out to be this kind of really nice atmospheric kind of moody thing that kind of connected me back to like songwriters in a way, like the people mm-hmm. that I grew up listening to, like Joni Mitchell and Neil Young and those kind of people. And that felt really nice. And then with this new record, it kind of, I felt really ready to kind of like expand that and make it into something a little more fleshed out.
Yeah, know? Awesome. And this new record is called Glue Dream. Can you tell me a little bit about the inspiration leading up to the creation of this record and I guess the themes that you explore throughout?
Yeah, I mean, the songs were written over the course of kind of a few years, actually, like in the wake of my old band breaking up, I sort of like started playing with some other artists. I was in a band called Lucius for a while, and we did a lot of touring right up until COVID, really. And I also play with this this like pop 80s singer-songwriter named Richard Marx. So I did a lot, was doing a lot of touring with him, and just kind of like writing on the road and demoing things in hotel rooms and then coming back and working on it at home. And I was making progress, but I hadn't really like sat down to kind of just like finish it and make it into something. And it kind of took the pandemic to do that. So mm-hmm. I was in Australia with my partner and we had our first kid. And sort of coming out of the fog of like newborn territory, my partner was like, it's time for you to finish your record. So you like go into the studio and find the time. And I think it's time for you to put something out. And I was like, yes, you're right. Yeah, I do need to do that. And so I just kind of over the next couple months, I just got all the music together and worked the demos into recordings and got some friends involved to help me kind of finish the production and stuff. I kind of wished I had been able to collaborate more with more people, but as sort of comically, as soon as I like blocked out a bunch of time to finish it, we went into like that second lockdown in 2021 in Melbourne. So you would remember that one, like in kind of late 2021.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I was kind of all set to like hit record and get a bunch of friends in. And then it was like, nope, can't have any people over. Sorry. Mm. So it was sort of like back to the vibe that I had in going in my first record, which was sort of frustrating, but I do love being in the studio on my own. And I love that time to sort of tinker and just like play with things and see where they go.
Mm. So I guess moving into like making new music, how would you approach it differently now that like you kind of have, you know, the options available to you?
Yeah. I mean, I would love if budget allowed to go into a studio with a band and do some live stuff, because I'm a singer and I love to sing. And I think I could even maybe do the vocals live and just kind of try to capture something that is really sort of in the moment. Because I think that's kind of these days, it's almost a bit radical to do that. Like there's so much music that's produced at home and it's so sort of like on the grid and electronic and stuff like that. And it's amazing that so many people can do that at home. I think it's only a good thing, but there's so much of that now that like a band getting into a room and being recorded well and capturing really, you know, amazing performances is kind of rare. So I think that would be kind of something cool to explore for the next record.
Yeah, cool. You have a track called Sad Eyes, which comes with an accompanying video.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to break down a little bit of the behind the scenes process of putting this video together? You collaborated with a few people, Liam Goh, Sam Kennihan, and Casey Harnett. How did that all come about?
Yeah, so Sean Kennihan from Northeast Party House is a really good friend of mine, and just sometime in early to mid 2021, in one of the lockdowns, and you know, my kid was about 3 months old, so we were very like nesting and isolated, and he was like, let me hear what you're working on. So I sent him a link of all my demos that I was working on. He was like, I love this, let me come help you, you know, finish the productions. And I was like, oh great, thank you. And I'm so glad that he even asked, because I probably would have just like put out whatever that music would have been, just doing it on my own. And then so from there, Sean got Liam Goh involved, who is kind of friends of friends anyway, to come in and do all the drum tracks. And because I was kind of playing them, I was either playing the drums on my own kind of in a mediocre fashion or using a drum machine. And man, it was so good to get Liam, and he smashed out like all 12 tracks in 2 days. It was great. So that was really fun. And then my friend Casey, who I met while I was living in Melbourne a couple years ago, I played in the band Sui Chen, and he's a part of that band. And I knew he was a mixer, and I just kind of brought the stuff to him. And I was like, I hadn't even really heard anything he had mixed, actually. I just loved his aesthetic and I loved his vibe. And I was like, I think you can do this. Like, I don't even care to hear what you've done. I think, because he's just got such good taste in music and sound and aesthetic. I was like, you'll nail this. And he did. It was great. So the Sad Eyes video, that actually was filmed by kind of half and half, my partner, Adrian, and another good friend, Lewis Mitchell, who's part of a filmmaking team, a brother filmmaking team called the Hotel Naomi. And basically, my partner Adrian and I were in Canada, in Nova Scotia. My family on my dad's side has a house up there, and we got up to the house in the summer. My family always gathers there in the summer, and we found this like goofy kind of like raincoat overall thing with like a matching hat. And Adrian had her DV camera, and I was like, what if you just shot me sailing around on the lake and maybe we can use it for something? And then we were sort of in the middle of a trip going to a friend's wedding in London and Paris. And so we shot some stuff in Paris and we shot some stuff in London, shot some stuff in Canada. And then we took it down to Melbourne at the beginning of this year. And I showed it to my friend Lewis, and he was like, I think if we shoot a few more things on the beach, like, we'll have a video. And then he and his brother had this insane idea to basically clear out their whole living room and dump like 20 kilos of sand on the floor and create like this on this kind of underwater scene, which was really fun. And they used like expanding foam and spray painted it to look like coral, and it's kind of this like really lo-fi like under the sea moment. So it was a blast, and it took months, but it was a blast.
Yeah, unreal. Where are you based at the moment?
We're in LA right now. We go back and forth a lot, but we are in LA right now. I'm doing a lot of songwriting sessions with other artists and doing some production and a little bit of mixing and some shows, and just kind of ramping up to releasing this record in a month, which is, you know, very exciting. It's been a long journey, so
yeah,
I'm really happy about it. Yeah,
for sure. Cool. And your songs generally kind of touch on, you know, themes like of some vulnerable themes and like searching for connection. And mm-hmm. I guess like finding that strength in love amidst the chaos.
Yes.
How do you approach this kind of storytelling through your music and your lyrics? What is generally like your process like?
It's usually like, I mean, look, it's great when it all comes at once, and that does happen. And I think like what, like music and lyrics, I think generally I have like a lot of musical sketches that I kind of just have in my voice notes. And I just go through them all the time and kind of play with them. And I'm always jotting down things either in my phone or in a notebook or something. And yeah, I mean, I just draw on stuff in my life. I mean, I think about with this record, there was so much to write about. Obviously like COVID, pandemic, being isolated, everyone looking for connection more than they ever have, and then being a new parent and figuring out, you know, that whole thing in the midst of being in a global pandemic and sort of being like, what kind of world have we brought our child into? And those kind of things. But yeah, I think it's all those things together, and I think probably the searching for connection is probably the one that I think seems to be like the through line for a lot of it, and I think that connection through sort of vulnerability, you know, being able to be vulnerable, which I think can be such a challenge even amongst like your closest friends, and sometimes it's the hardest with your closest friends because they like know the most about you and. Or, you know, they know you the best. And I mean, that's really what Sad Eyes is about, is like, even in a group of friends, maybe it's sometimes that can be the hardest to sort of open up and really tell someone what's going on with you. And I think we're so used to kind of just being like, I'm good, I'm cool, you know, because you want to kind of keep that vibe with your friends. You know, you want things to be cool with your friends. But I think it's like, so I was playing a lot with those ideas. And, you know, another thing that comes up a lot in my songwriting is, you know, my partner's from Australia, obviously, she's from Melbourne, and just the challenges that brings, being in like a relationship where we're both from different countries, and, you know, my parents are on the East Coast here and we're in LA and her parents are in Melbourne, and it's like, it's really hard to like figure out where to be and how to get to everyone and, or bring people together. And we, especially now with a child, it's like, you often feel very like pulled in different directions. You know? So that's often a theme that comes up in my writing.
Was there ever a time where you guys were living on opposite sides of the world?
No, not really, actually. Adrian came over here because her father's actually American.
Okay.
He grew up in Northern California. And I guess in the 70s, Australia was looking for teachers. They were like putting the call out for teachers, and he went and he never came back.
Wow.
40 years. Yeah. Married an Australian. Yeah. So anyway, she came over a while back to look. She's an actor. She was, you know, just wanted to look for some acting work and kind of check out LA and see if she maybe wanted to live there. And because she has two passports, she figured like, I might as well take it. I got to take advantage of this if I can go over there and look for work. So we basically met in like her first month in LA.
Right.
And she's, you know, now she's been here for 10 years, essentially, with a little, you know, we've lived in Melbourne too for stretches as well.
Yeah. And how would you compare the music scenes between LA and Melbourne, and how have you found like those two cities have like influenced your music and your creativity along the way?
Well, I love Melbourne, first of all. I think there's so much cool creative stuff going on there. And I think when I first started going down there, I found it so refreshing, because I think LA, and rightly so to an extent, has a reputation of like everyone's on their hustle all the time and everyone's like wheeling and dealing kind of. And you go to a place like Melbourne and there's just so much like super cool, really creative stuff going on. And you just get the sense that people just do it because they love it and they just want to make things, you know, whereas here it's like there's always kind of a drive of like success and money and things like that. And not to say that people in Melbourne don't have those aspirations or ambitions too, but there's just sort of like, I find the creative spirit sometimes a little freer down there, you know, a little less like colored or clouded by like the possibility of things, you know, blowing up for you or something. But you know, there's an energy to LA that's really kind of infectious. You know, there's a lot of people doing the thing, writing songs, you know, making stuff every day. And there's something about that energy that's really, really fun to be around. And you know, it's a strange city. It's like, it's massive and it's sort of at the same time really beautiful. Like you can look up at the mountains and be like, oh my God. And then, you know, it's absolutely filthy and scummy at the same time. Like it's sort of just like this weird gutter to glitter kind of thing that you're sort of always like seeing at the same time. Mm. We just try to make sure we get out of LA a lot and go into the nature parts, because that into other parts of California, because that really is amazing. The landscapes are so beautiful. Yeah, but I mean, I love Melbourne. Ever since I went, I think it's amazing. And I've met some of my favorite people down there and some of my favorite artists. And I, you know, just like kind of happening upon this whole new music community and scene of people making amazing stuff was just so cool. It really opened my mind musically over the last bunch of years going there and absorbing that.
Mm. And what have you been listening to at the moment as of late?
That's a good question. I was just listening to Sam Burton's new record. He's this local LA guy. He used to sing, he was singing with a band called Sylvie. I don't know if you've heard a band called Sylvie. Sylvie's actually coming to Australia soon. I'll plug their tour for them. They're coming in the I think December for a little Australian tour. You should check them out if you get a chance. They're great. I listen to a lot of Brazilian music. I lived in Brazil for almost a year when I was just out of university. So I like studied that music a lot and learned a lot of it and traveled around Brazil and played some shows and even made some recordings. So that stuff has always been like really fascinating to me. And the reason I went is because my parents lived there before I was born.
Wow.
They played a lot of Brazilian music growing up and I always loved it. And they were like, well, you should just go and live there for a while. So that music's been a part of my blood, I think, since I was little. I just love the rhythms and the melodies. It's some of the most sophisticated and kind of visceral, groovy stuff that exists, I think.
Mm. Yeah, that's so interesting. Do you find that like the multiple kind of landscapes that you've found yourself in has influenced this kind of music that you're making at the moment in any way?
Yeah, I think so. I think melodically it seeps in. I think rhythmically I can feel myself warming into like being a little bit more adventurous with that kind of stuff. You know, I feel like when it would be easy for me to like write a bossa nova song, but it's the harder thing is to sort of like fit how it, you know, like fit it in a way that would make sense with my music, you know, where it wouldn't feel like I was just like appropriating this rhythm or this chord progression or something, like if I could really make it kind of my own. But I'm always sort of like searching for those things and trying to integrate them in a way that sort of just feels like me and not me kind of copying something else, you know. But yeah, for sure. I mean, everything we listen to just kind of like goes in and comes out in different ways, you know, which is so cool. I love that.
Yeah. And how would you describe your evolution as an artist, and how do you see this new music evolving as well?
That's a good question. I think the songs have maybe advanced a bit in sort of the melodic and chordal sort of areas, and I think I'm feeling myself at the moment anyway with the new stuff that I'm writing, I'm sort of going for more things lyrically. Like I'm trying to really like refine my lyric writing more because I feel I want to tell more stories, and I'd like to involve more characters, like kind of take it out of myself in a way, you know, like draw on those personal things, but also like bring in the world around me a little bit, which I think I've started to do on this record. And I like that, you know. I think when I first started writing songs, like probably like a lot of people, you just kind of write love songs and how you're heartbroken or how you're obsessed with somebody or something. And then as you sort of get older and you like move through the world, you sort of start to take in all that other stuff. And, you know, I think this record in particular has a lot of that, but I think, yeah, just refining lyrics and really making sure that they say something and tell a story and at least take you on some kind of little 3-minute journey that kind of sweeps you away. Mm-hmm. You know, I think those are kind of the things that when I'm looking critically at it, I'm like, that's what I want to improve on, just in myself, you know?
Totally. And my final question is, how would you describe the essence of Dandelion Head and Dandelion Head's music? And also, if somebody had just come across your music, what are 3 songs that you would want them to listen to first?
Let's see, 3 songs. I'd say Sad Eyes. And I would say Cave Dancer. And I would say there's another song that hasn't come out yet. It's going to come out on the record, but it's called First Chill of Winter. And that song really feels like the more intimate side of what I do. It was written sort of in like a time right before my partner gave birth to our child. And it just felt really like that was, we were just nesting and kind of like being together and waiting for this kid to arrive. And that one means a lot to me. It's one of my favorites on the record. But yeah, the essence of Dandelion Head, I don't know. Wind in the trees, bit of wine at sunset kind of vibe. It's kind of, you know, the good life.
Smooth, yeah.
Smooth things.
Cool. Amazing.
A good coffee.
Yes.
A swim in a river.
Cool.
A swim in the ocean. That kind of thing.
Awesome.
The earth. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the record sounds amazing. I had to listen to it and it's really cool. So I'm very excited for it to be out into the world.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Thank you.
It'll be awesome. And yeah, thank you so much for chatting.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It was
no worries.